All right, welcome to Calling Cast. We are episode 18.
Episode 18, Car Cast. So,
yeah, it's been
a while,
a hard
right?
Time, but yeah, but you know how it is. So, what's new up?
It is very hectic, especially when we're trying to, you know, just do our jobs, maintain things, our daily lives, and stuff like that. But we don't really have a set discussion on what we're going to talk about today. We're just going to talk about a lot of things.
Yeah. What did you want to get into first?
All right. So, Brian, I think we should get into NFTs, which is, that's like a big craze now. I know that you mentioned you went to Target and you noticed like they were taking away like the baseball and like Pokemon cards and Yu-Gi-Oh cards, that aisle away. So
let me look that up and see if that's related to the NFTs. Let me see.
Well, yeah, for sure. I just thought it was interesting to note that that's one of the particular craze for NFTs is like having a kind of valuable like trading card, like a token, like it's, you know, valuable that you only have it, nobody else has it, and in a sense, it's like a trading.
Okay, so here's the reason. Apparently the reason that Target is pulling Pokemon cards and trading cards. Let's see. Target said it will pause the sale of Pokemon cards and sports trading cards, citing safety concerns for shoppers and employees. Let's see. In a statement,
they said it. Wait, say that again. Safety concerns?
Yeah. So let's see. I hate these ads. Okay. So last week, police in Brookfield, Wisconsin said a fight broke out at a Target store after a disagreement over cards.
Wait, come on. Are you serious? You're telling me that...
Police said the altercation ended after a man who had been attacked by four others pulled out his gun. Pokemon trading cards have surged in popularity, leading to shortages. According to the support page for the game, the Pokemon company is aware of the issues tied to higher demand and global shipping constraints.
So it has nothing to do with NFTs.
It was just some stupid.
Okay, I don't know. That's pretty bizarre. So, over a brawl, over a fight that they're kind of discontinuing.
Yeah, but apparently Walmart soon. So this article says, breaking down what's next for trading card sales at Target, Walmart, and elsewhere. Target, as you know, has suspended all in-store sales.
You said Walmart. What about Walmart? What did you say about Walmart?
I'm just trying to skim through this article to see if I could find the vice president of toys. I spoke to the buyer this week, and they are committed to this category. Okay, the category of trading cards. They've got a brand that they have to protect as well. And what happened in Milwaukee, they shut down the shopping center for an hour. There was a Trader Joe's there and other stores. It wasn't a good look. They got national. So just because of a freaking fight, somebody pulled out a gun. They're kind of overreacting, jeez. It was basically just a big brawl that broke out at a Target, and so that's why they're... But it seems like you can go to, like, Walgreens still and CVS to buy trading cards. So it's nothing...
But that's just crazy. That's the reason why Target's discontinuing their baseball card trading card section because of a fight? I don't know.
Well,
I feel like there might be another reason.
I guess. The guy who's getting beat up pulled out a gun. I guess Target just didn't like that.
So let's move on with the story and let's go on with our next topic, which is non-fungible tokens. That's what the whole title is. That's what an NFT is or stands for. So I just want to briefly make it known that a non-fungible token is a unit of data stored on a digital ledger called a blockchain. So similarly, like, you know, Bitcoin or Ethereum, since that's, you know, the two major blockchains right now. So it certifies a digital asset to be unique and therefore not be interchangeable. So, like a trading card game, or, you know, it doesn't have to be pertaining towards a, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh card or like a, you know, whatever trading card. It could be like a lot of other things, from my understanding. NFTs can be used to represent items such as photos, videos, audio, and other types of digital files. So accessing any type of copy of original file, however, is restricted to the buyer of the NFT, meaning why it's so valuable. It's like you're the only one that can have that certain NFT. So while these copies are digital items available for anyone to obtain, any NFTs are tracked on blockchains to provide the owner of a proof of ownership that is separate from the copyright. So that's just a little, little description of what a NFT is and what we're going to be diving into on our, our first topic, second topic.
So I guess the first one-off NFT was created in 2014. At a conference called the 7-on-7 Conference in New York City. It represents the first time a non-fungible, tradable blockchain marker with publicity via on a on-chain metadata linked to a unique work of art.
So, Brian, did you just say that in 2014 it was practically, like, the first NFT that was, like, basically announced?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And what was it called again?
It doesn't give me a name here, but in 2015, this is the first NFT project called Etheria.
Oh.
And so it was launched at DevCon 1, which is Ethereum's first developer conference in London, in the UK. Oh, wow. It was launched just 3 months after they launched Ethereum.
Yeah, I just thought it was noticeable that it has, like, a similar name to Ethereum.
Yeah, it's called Etheria.
Etheria?
Yeah, they had 457 purchasable and tradable hexagonal tiles that went unsold for more than 5 years until March 13, 2021, when renewed interest in NFTs sparked a buying frenzy. Within 24 hours, all the tiles of the current version and a prior version, each hard-coded to one Ethereum, were sold for a total of $1.4 million. This is back. They launched it in 2015, but it didn't get bought until 2021 when it started blowing up again.
So you said it didn't really, like, make noticeable recognition until, what, the year 2021?
Yeah, March 13, 2021.
Gotcha.
So I guess it's because, Ethereum, I guess, unlike Bitcoin, they have a system for creating tokens and storage built right into the blockchain. So you don't need any third-party platforms.
Say that again. So you don't need any third-party platforms. So go ahead.
Because
and
Ethereum, the Ethereum blockchain, it has a system for creating tokens. So you don't need a third party to help create the tokens or store the tokens, because you can store them on the Ethereum blockchain. I guess unlike Bitcoin and other token-based platforms.
Like,
it says.
Like, are you mentioning, like, kind of saying unlike having, like, a separate wallet to store your Bitcoin, it's stored directly on the network, Ethereum?
Yeah, like, the third-party example they give is a Counterparty, but I don't really know what that is, because they don't even have, it's not even a clickable link, so I can't even read about Counterparty.
Yeah, because I wonder if Ethereum is, like, the same as, like, Bitcoin, where, I mean, there's multiple wallets for Bitcoin, and you can, like, have, you know, different wallets and have it stored, you know. And then basically, I wonder if it's pretty similar where you can have multiple wallets and just have different cryptocurrency on that wallet.
So in 2018, Decentraland, which is a blockchain-based virtual world, raised $26 million in an initial coin offering and had a $20 million internal economy as of September 2018. Or I guess Decentraland, we should look into that, the whole blockchain-based virtual world.
Yeah, you mentioned it was Decentraland?
Yeah.
Okay, definitely, we'll dive into that. So since we were on the topic of NFTs, I wanted to bring up one of the articles that I have up right now. And it just mentions, so we're going to have all the links, you know, posted as always. So it mentions NFT.storage, a new service created by Filecoin and Pinata, aims to preserve the integrity of non-fungible tokens. So that basically means, so for users out there, Filecoin is another cryptocurrency. I'm assuming Pinata is another cryptocurrency. But the different thing between, you know, Filecoin, it's a storage cryptocurrency. So if you buy into the token, you're buying into, like, you can dive into that, but you're buying into, like, space storage that you can rent out. So I guess Filecoin is taking advantage of this NFT craze where they're aiming to like preserve the integrity and lifetime of your NFT to where it's like it will never disappear and it's guaranteed to never disappear. And that it'll always be around on the internet. So this article just briefly goes into mentioning about the decentralized storage service to preserve the digital content associated with the NFTs. So basically, this free service allows their users to save their NFT data's metadata and content off-chain. Filecoin announced this protocol, a new service called NFT.storage. And I know that you can go ahead and participate in purchasing tokens for Filecoin on a lot of popular exchange, cryptocurrency exchange websites. But that's just a little dive into like what's going on into even just NFTs and just particularly cryptocurrency, where this company is trying to head this the future of technology. It's kind of crazy the way, you know, we're in an interesting time with technology, Brian.
Yeah, I mean, I just looked up that Decentraland thing. And, I mean, apparently, like, you can buy and sell land, estates, avatar wearables, and names in the Decentraland marketplace, stocking the very best digital goods and paraphernalia backed by the Ethereum blockchain.
Yeah, I was just about to mention that. I was going to say that practically Ethereum kind of started that all, where you can, like, have virtual contracts. And, you know, Bitcoin was just the start of having, you know, virtual currency. But Ethereum really, like, expanded the idea of what a decentralized blockchain could do.
Yeah, this is pretty interesting. You can explore lands owned by other users and experience incredible scenes and structures. From a space adventure to medieval dungeon maze, entire villages crafted from the minds of community members.
It's kind of crazy because it kind of looks like a video game. But it's like a lot more than that.
Yeah, or I have to do it on a laptop. But the link is literally play.decentraland.org.
Oh, wow, okay.
Are you on your laptop? Yeah, check it out. Let me know if you can, like, play around on there. Because I wasn't able to access them on my phone. And it says it wasn't available. It's only available for desktop.
Well, it's interesting because it sounds like it's a decentralized video game? Or... because it says it's the immerse yourself into the first world fully owned by its user. So first virtual world owned by its users. So this kind of reminds me like back in the day when I heard of they were coming out with like Avatar, and it was like this new online virtual place where you have a like you know, avatar character that, you know, represents you in real life and it looks like you. And it's practically kind of reminding me of when PlayStation had the Sony, I kind of forgot the name, but they had like a PlayStation, not the Play Store, I don't know if it was a Play Store, but it was a PlayStation where you can log in and connect through the PlayStation Network and basically socialize and do many things with like on the PlayStation, whoever had a PlayStation, other users you can log in and meet, but they did later discontinued that, but... kind of reminds me of that.
Well, like, even like VR games now are like literally, like you can hang out, like there are spots you can hang out, they have like different rooms you can go to, and there are rooms where like they're playing a movie and you're VR, you're watching a movie, you're like at the movies in a VR world watching a movie, you know what I mean?
Oh wow, that's pretty interesting.
It's, yeah,
so you're in a video game with your friends watching like a video of a movie.
Yeah, like it could be like a real movie. Like they'll be playing like The Hulk or Inception, and like you'll just meet up with we can meet up there all virtual.
Wow, that is pretty crazy to think about. We are that far ahead into the future from when we were growing up, when practically the iPod Nano Color was like, you know, insane. Oh, there's colorful, you know, technology, and I'm pretty sure that's, they introduced the iPod Nano when it first started having a camera on the MP3 player. So,
Yeah.
So we definitely have
And
come a
then,
long way
yeah,
in.
so it's gonna be really interesting to see where the whole virtual aspect of life goes, you know? Like, what if that's gonna be like the new life, you know?
I mean, it
Like, the
reminds me
next
of a
step.
movie because there's a movie out there where people connect into the virtual world.
Yeah. Like,
Yeah, and
there's a
then
movie
like they
called Work.
basically live their life through the virtual world, through the virtual world, and they
And
can
like,
get upgrades and stuff like
but
that.
they're like in their house, right? And
Yeah.
they're like all, yeah, I remember that. I think I remember that movie.
But
Forgot. It'd be helpful to know that movie's name, but you know.
I mean, since I'm on the computer, I wonder if I can type it in and it'll like find it. What was it like?
Yeah,
People.
while you're looking for it, I guess I'll bring up that recently something that's been blowing up in the news is all this UFO stuff. Apparently there's more linked or more leaked videos from the Pentagon.
Oh wait, more leaked videos of UFOs from the Pentagon were dropped.
Yeah, like they have UFOs that go in the water, like they fly into the ocean.
So I'm wondering if this is like a bigger plot into like trying to convince us like there's a bigger enemy out there and it's aliens.
Well, I mean, if you know Project Bluebeam, they talk about, you know, basically they're taking the steps to fake an alien invasion to get us all under one world government, you know? And so,
And
like,
what
the
is this
theory is
project called
like,
again? Sorry.
I think it's called Project Bluebeam. There might be other projects associated with it, but I know, like, I've heard that one of the, like, steps in this project is to, like, whether it's, like, holograms or, you know, real event, you know, they have an quote unquote alien attack, and then I think it's in the document that they plan to like have like projections of religious figures from different parts of the world come and speak and talk about like one world peace and all that. Did I
Projections?
lose you?
What kind of projections?
Like
Like when
big
you say
holographic
project,
projections.
when you say projections,
Yeah,
I'm
you can
thinking
look
like a
into.
hologram, like a holographic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A holographic hologram, yeah. They already did that with Tupac back in the day. Remember that? The Tupac hologram?
Yeah, well, that was pretty crazy where that technology was around where they can actually show Tupac that
Yeah.
looked like he was walking on the stage.
Yep, holding up his chains and everything.
Yep.
And that was like 5 years ago, you know, so that technology's only gotten better.
I wonder why they chose Tupac to like, holograph Tupac.
I mean, it's probably just like. Oh, let them see that, but you notice you've never seen anything else other than that, you know? It's like they let it slip through, they give you like a little sneak preview, and then they take it away. You know, you don't see any holograms of anybody else.
That's true.
So yeah, apparently, so whether these UFO sightings are legit or if it's all a pre-planned psyop, you know?
Like the current one we're already in.
Yep.
Alrighty, well, I'm still on a mission to find like the exact movie I was talking about, but to further into our NFTs, I'll definitely give the links for our sources, but just a little like kind of just like a brief explanation of what possibilities of NFTs are or what I've come across. So this guy, this pin was created by, I guess his name is Luka Doncic, and I guess he's selling his NFT pin for 7 Ethereum, which equals $18,576.95. It's just crazy because to me it looks like he has a pin, but it's a digital pin, so it's just spinning around. So I'm wondering if like that's it, if that's just the NFT, like that's what you bought for 7 Ethereum tokens.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's just a token, you know?
And then so that's one example of what you could possibly buy. And there's like other websites, stores that you can visit, that marketplaces that you can buy NFTs at. And I think one of them is crypto.com, where you can see like, for example, like people buy like sports racing videos and they could sell it. They can just like briefly show it to you on the website. But is this all very interesting to like where this is going? And I know Brian, I'm pretty sure I still have that link, but you sent me an NFT where horses are racing and you can pretty much like kind of buy in or gamble with like...
That's not really an NFT. That's just kind of like, they call it just races, you know, like you bet a certain amount. I don't really understand the full scope of how it works, but I know it's like whichever one like wins, like that, anybody who like bet on that, like they pretty much split the profit. Really, it's just, I don't know, it's just really complicated to me because like, you know, we're not like on the internet all the time, so we're not up to date anymore.
Yeah, and that's like another reason why, like, this is all very interesting and this is new for the both of us. Where we're both learning as we go. So to talk about that race thing we're talking about. So what is this?
Were you able to find the link?
Yeah, so I was able to find some type of link. So basically it tells me horse racing is a big business. It's a widely popular avenue for gambling enthusiasts. Why are horse races so popular for gamblers though? For starters, these races offer a huge opportunity for payouts. When betting on horses, it's often easy to choose the level of risk you want to take based on the odds. For those willing to accept the less favorable odds, the pot can be that much bigger should they win. There are also a wide variety of different bets which can be placed on races, giving those who participate in sort of many avenues for success. Horse races betting is a form of entertainment which can appeal to both novice and advanced participants. While it's possible to choose a very simple option, it's still accessible to have fun and take the time to learn how it works for you and more options available to you. Unfortunately, it seems that many of the most popular European sports bookers have not quite caught on the cryptocurrency craze. Those who are a fan of traditional sports books such as Ladbrokes or Bet365 may have noticed that they are lacking in cryptocurrency options, and most Bitcoin sport books don't offer the option of betting on horse races. There are of course a few exceptions which may offer some betting on major races such as Kentucky Derby, but someone who is truly a fan of the sport will likely be disappointed by the lack of options available. I think that's a typo because this is finding a good cryptocurrency based on a horse betting book will likely be your biggest challenge when looking to take up this hobby or expand your existing hobby into a realm of cryptocurrency. But in this article, you'll go over some options you can use to that are crypto friendly. So that was just basically diving into how to get into gambling for horse racing for cryptocurrency. But yeah, it's very interesting on like how this all works. So, when you showed me that video, was it a virtual horse race? Like, is that how that works?
Yeah, it was virtual.
Yeah, that's crazy. And I'll make sure at the podcast links or the sources, we'll have that all for our users so we're not leaving them in the dark.
And then, I know right here I'm scrolling through some articles, and apparently a Chinese artificial sun experimental fusion reactor sets world record for superheated plasma time. The reactor got more than 10 times hotter than the core of the sun, sustaining a temperature of 160 million degrees Celsius for 20 seconds. So China is working on a fake sun.
I heard that briefly on my way to work one of the days on the radio. That's interesting. So were they successful with making their own, like, sun?
I mean, they're taking the steps. So they have this core, this reactor core, that got hotter than the sun, and they were able to hold that heat for 20 seconds.
Wow. Say, it was able to get as hot as the sun for 20 seconds?
Hotter than the sun.
Oh, wow. That's crazy.
10 times hotter than the sun. I'm going to send you that link so you can include it.
Send me the link to the podcast number.
But that kind of goes into also, on our moon episode, we talked about China is also working on artificial moons to light up their sky.
Wasn't it also in the news where, like, they're trying to, like, block out the sun with, like, Elon Musk satellite or something like that?
I think that was a Bill Gates thing. He was trying to shoot, like, a chalk into the sun to slow down global warming.
Yeah, but isn't there, like, a whole movie on that called, like, not Iceland, but Greenland. Isn't it called like Greenland?
I'm not sure.
But let me tell you like the realm of the movie. So basically, there's these, I guess, satellites, you can will, I guess you can call it, if you will, that basically control the weather. So in this whole new world, I think there's no more, like, tornadoes, there's no more hurricanes, stuff like that, if I'm getting it right. But somewhere along the line, someone has bad intentions, and someone up at the main control station at, like, you know, one of the satellites tries to control it and take over, and basically starts heating up the world and making the world hotter. But I don't want to, like, put that on 100%, because, like, that's vaguely what I remember what the movie is about. I wish I remember the title. But it's just interesting to, like, how, like, what movies that used to be seem so sci-fi and, like, futuristic are now, like...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, have, like, a Neuralink and, more like, yeah, satellites just, you know, are up... sorry, what was that?
There's more truth in fiction, in the fiction movies, than there is, you know, like, in the news.
And I mean, I'm starting to, you know, realize that now. It's crazy. So, since we're still kind of, you know, talking about NFTs... I'm on this website called The Crypto Cats. So it goes to mention the new NFT craze, The Crypto Cats. 111 cats created manually uniquely, or each one can be officially owned by a single person on the Ethereum blockchain. This website, for example, offers these NFTs called Crypto Cats, and they're uniquely collectible with proof of ownership stored on the Ethereum blockchain. So the project was inspired by the modern crypto art movement. So see, it's another movement with the NFTs. It's pushing art. So NFTs can be, you know, form of art. So it goes on to mention they're one of the first non-fungible tokens. Crypto Cats are 111 cats made by a single artist, anonymous for the moment, uniquely created manually. No two are alike, and each one can be officially owned by a single person on the Ethereum blockchain. So since it goes to mention this market, you can buy, bid, and offer cats for sale. I will also include this link in the description, but they also showed a list of cats of the, you know, different... imagery, different designs, what the cats look like, what this artist created. And it goes on to mention what a crypto cat is. It's just a drawing. It's a uniquely created anonymous drawing by an artist. Like I said, these NFTs can be many things, valuable to, you know, whoever deems valuable. And it's the next, basically, the trading card games of the future digital era.
Yeah.
I guess I'll just quick, since I'm on the website and talking about it, it basically just goes on to mention that NFTs work on the same principle as cryptocurrencies as Bitcoin, which I mentioned earlier on this podcast. And so they're based on a blockchain and therefore unforgivable, unreversible, and unreproducible, which makes them valuable. Unlike cryptocurrencies, however, they're not interchangeable. And being each unique, non-fungible, this allows their purchasers to truly own the digital rights of their work, whether an image or an animation or a video. And then it goes on to mention this work is also totally secure since it's registered on the blockchain. As a reminder, the blockchain is a technology for a storing and transmission of information, which is transparent, secure, and operates without a central controlled body. I'm going to end it there. I'm going to leave the link so other users can just go ahead and check that out. But it's just interesting to, like, how do you keep from somebody not recording the video of your NFT that you recently purchased? Or, you know what I'm saying? How do you keep somebody from, like, control, copy, pasting your image?
Right. Well, I guess it could get to the point where they'll just sue you.
Okay, like, so it's to that point, if you bought an NFT, they can get a lawyer,
yeah,
and basically...
Yeah, you can actually, I guess, like, take it to, like, actual, like, ramifications now. It's not like a YouTube video where, oh, you just stole my video, YouTube will take it down, you know?
Or, like, back then when it was like, oh, yeah, everybody's taking things left and right.
Yeah, yeah. Or, yeah, because it's just a viral video, so it's posted everywhere, you know?
Yeah.
You want to hear a crazy story? I sent you the link.
Yeah, yeah. Go ahead and start with it. It's about what?
So, This is out of South Africa, the Business Insider South Africa. A rogue killer drone hunted down a human target without being instructed to, the UN report says. A deadly drone hunted down a human target without being instructed to. The incident took place during clashes in Libya last year, the Daily Star reported. Experts are sounding the alarm about the lack of regulation around using killer robots. Apparently, a weaponized drone hunted down a human target without being told to do so for the first time.
You know what this is reminding me of? The movie Eagle Eye.
Yeah. In March 2020, the incident saw a Karger 2 quadcopter, I guess that's a drone, autonomously attack a human during a conflict between Libyan government forces and a breakaway military faction led by the Libyan National Army, Khalifa Haftar. I can't read that, sorry. Turkish-built Karger 2, a deadly attack drone designed for asymmetric warfare and anti-terrorist operations, targeted one of Haftar's soldiers while he tried to retreat. The drone, which can be directed to detonate on impact, was operating in a highly effective autonomous mode that required no human controller. The lethal weapons were systems were programmed to attack targets without requiring data connectivity between the operator and the munition. In effect, a true fire, forget, and find capability. So apparently, I guess it didn't even need instructions. It just needed to attack a human.
So yeah, dude, AI is officially taking over. Skynet is officially here. We're ruled under AI.
It happened in 2020. This happened in 2020, which is, and it's just being reported on now.
Don't you find that interesting how they have these stories that happened, incidents in life that happened, and then they go ahead and publish the article, like, whenever they feel like it?
Yeah, so that's interesting. I sent you that link so you can post it. It looks like there's a video here that may be talking about it, but interesting.
Because, I know we just discussed it on a previous podcast.
Oh, and
but
then still in the tech world here, LG apparently is not going to make phones anymore. They're just sticking to home appliances.
Sorry, hold on. I'm having trouble a little bit hearing you. What about LG?
The company LG, they're not going to make cell phones anymore. They're just sticking with home appliances like stoves and fridges and shit.
Oh, no way. LG is just continuing on making phones?
I mean, yeah, I didn't read the article, but I just saw the headline.
Well, that's news for me. That's okay. I guess nobody's really buying their phones.
Yeah, okay. I guess nobody's really gonna miss that.
Well, it's just like slimming up the market, I guess. Kind of like how our market's already slim for cellular networks. There's only like three.
Or, I wonder if it's like even like, oh, they just, I don't know, it's probably such a hassle to create a phone because you probably have to do so much government regulation, you know? You can't just like put a phone out there, you know? And then I guess. Did we talk about Bill Gates being divorced? I don't think we talked about that in the last episode.
Well, I know we've been going through a lot of things about Bill Gates and who he's tied with. But before we start diving into Bill Gates, did you want to dive into... I think this is one of the articles that we had lined up in the past when we were trying to get this podcast. Meet in grocery stores where they can be here within the next 5 years. And it's funny, because it's like, aren't they already in grocery stores? Don't we have Impossible Meat and, like, Impossible Burger and, like...
Well, I think what they're saying is, like, they're just going to label it as meat still. It's just going to be lab-grown. They're not even going to tell you that, oh, it's not real meat. They're just going to say, oh, it's meat.
Oh. See, isn't that a little bit deceiving, though?
I mean, hey, isn't it deceiving that you get, like, fruit punch from the store and it lasts 4 months, but you make it yourself and it only lasts, like, 2 days?
That's very true.
All about that dollar.
It's all about the dollar.
But Bill Gates, he's actually one of the people behind all those lab-grown meats, you know? Bought up all this farmland. Now him and his wife are getting a divorce, which, if you like, I don't know. In that world, I feel like the divorce is just like a business move, you know? Like, Jeff Bezos and his wife split up, but like, they probably still be business partners. And then, the foundation is still called Bill and Gates Foundation.
Sorry, what was that? I'm having a little bit of a hard time hearing you.
The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation is on there. Like, it's still called Bill and Melinda Gates, you know?
Like, yeah, I figured they won't change that. I figured that would still be the same. But it's just interesting how that whole thing pops up about them getting a divorce, them Melinda wanting to separate because of her being truly disgusted with her husband about what she finds out with the what was the current raid on one of their lodges in Wisconsin, one of the homes that they lived in, and just like his connection with Jeffrey Epstein and stuff like that.
Well, I mean, apparently he even spent like time with his ex-girlfriend, you know, so it's just like, I wonder why now they're just getting a divorce when he was like spending time with his girlfriend back in like the 90s, the late 90s.
And Melinda knew about it, right?
I mean, she had to, because it said that he was spending time with her, like, every year.
Yeah, yeah. Figured, me. So then, I wish my connection was a little bit better. I'm having a hard time bringing up some of these articles. So, I have one of them brought up about Amazon, how Amazon wants to basically be the next pharmacy, the pharmaceutical company. So, the tech giant...
Yeah. Isn't that
maybe
crazy,
opening
yeah,
its own pharmacies, and Google wants to mine patient data. So,
yep.
Like you said, you mentioned something about Google being in partners with one of the health websites, WebMD or something like that.
Basically, these tech giants, like the tech company, are going outside of the tech world, you know, and now they're starting to put their hands, even like Bill Gates from Tech Giant, and now he's creating our food,
well,
you know?
Yeah, even that's like the whole reason why Bill Gates stepped down, or even possibly the reason why Jeff Bezos is stepping down from Amazon, is to pursue their philanthropist ideals into like branching out into other things besides technology, incorporating into everyday life, where like you said, like, you know, healthcare, Bill Gates is, you know, buying up farmland throughout the states, a lot throughout, you know, Florida, and how he's, you know, getting into, you know, backed with Monsanto's and his Bill and Gates and Melinda Gates Foundation, and how they are, you know, pushing this lab-grown meat and stuff like that. It's all pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. So it wasn't like WebMD. It was Mayo Clinic. So I guess in 2019,
okay,
Google signed a deal with Mayo Clinic to manage and parse health records for insights expanding the cloud computing and data analytic, which would provide for better performance. So, yeah, so Google has access to your, what's it called, HIPAA rights, your HIPAA violation, that's a violating your HIPAA, you know, for healthcare.
Yeah.
But that's one of the things, you price you pay for having convenience, where, you know, how, like, there's, like, those AKGs on your wrists, you know, Apple Watch or whatever that can, you know, tell your health or whatever. But it's probably just being constantly streamed to a database that can be, like, easily breached or hacked.
Yeah. Well, I know it's not so big anymore, but for a while the whole Asian hate was kind of huge. And then I don't really watch the Oscars, but I heard that, like, a lot of the winners were just Asian people.
What is this, like, some sort of narrative they're trying to push? Like, what, like, it's...
I don't know. Yeah, I'm not sure.
How that works. Yeah. Another thing that I wanted to mention, and I don't know if you saw the videos that were circulating, but, like, I guess these people who took the COVID-19 vaccine, they were having, like, magnets stick to their arm.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Oh, and one thing about Amazon is they're trying to buy MGM.
I've heard they already did. I think they already made the deal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think they made the deal. They're like spreading their wings through like the video or like the whole movie like realm too.
Yeah.
Dude, it's an empire.
You know, all those MGM movies. Yep.
It's an empire. It's a monopoly. That's what it is. It's a monopoly. And like, say what you will with the three like main big tech like cellular companies, AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, but I mean, think about what, you know, technology, you know, through like, I guess Microsoft, Apple just buys up all the small time, you know, competitors like Microsoft, buying up all the small time game makers. I know they recently, Stadia or something, like one of the game makers was recently bought out by Microsoft. Apple just, you know, buys out smaller application companies. I know they recently bought out Dark Sky, which was an app for the weather on like the iPhone. Even way back then, in like 1999, early 2000, Google bought out Blogger, which is a popular blogging site. So it's just like, it's a major trend for buying out eating up the smaller guys. Yeah, so that's what happens, you know, the big companies just gobble up the smaller guys.
Yeah, well, I mean, staying in the world of tech, so if you own a Tesla Model 3 or Model Y, then it's now possible that the in-car camera either is or soon will be monitoring you while you're in autopilot. That's just while you're in autopilot. Who knows? They could probably be spying on you even when you're not in autopilot, you know?
Why do they need to be having, like, this camera that looks at you inside? Like, why do they need that camera?
Let me see if it explains it.
I mean, is it, you know, quote-unquote to say, oh, you're not sleeping when it's in autopilot? Or, like, your hands are on the steering wheel when it's in autopilot to making sure you're, you know, cooperating with the, you know, standards of law? I don't know. Everything's just being more and more surveillance.
Yeah, so it says the reason is Tesla's going to rely on the camera vision and neural net processing to deliver autopilot, full self-driving, and certain active safety features. Basic ass statement right there.
Sounds like a good PR statement.
Yeah, there says it's mainly used to detect spacing and objects around it for things like blind spots, collisions, warnings, and automatic emergency braking and more. But so they're moving it from a radar sensors system to a camera-based system.
That's very weird. So they were so heavily reliant.
The exact details haven't been revealed yet, but I guess it's for the new Model 3 and Model Y owners. I guess you can disable it in the settings, but, I mean, again, they have access, you know? Yeah, you let them disable it, but they can activate it on their end, you know?
What's this whole, like, push towards electric vehicles where we need to, like, that's the future? Have you noticed that where, like, there's a major jump towards where we're trying to, like, ban gas vehicles?
Yeah, well, I don't know if you remember, but in school they always told us that oil is not renewable, but we've been using gas and oil for years, forever, you know?
Yeah.
And maybe they claim it's not renewable, but what if it's just man-made, you know?
Yeah, just like everything else. Like, you know how diamonds can be now man-made?
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to be digging up dirt for a diamond. You know, you can man-made a diamond now. You know, synthetic diamonds.
Yeah, make it in the lab.
So, I wouldn't put it past it. You can't put it past anything nowadays. Especially, I mean, remember a few years back when, like, they announced that, yeah, the Harry Potter invisible cloak is basically practically real. And they have, like, the technology for it. But then, you know, it's just, like, come to find out, oh, well, the military have already had that technology, you know, that can disguise, like, airplanes in the sky.
It's like, it's like going back to the holograms, you know. It's like they give you that, like, sample, like, oh, that technology's real. But then, like, oh, you'll see it once and never see it again for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that brings up another good discussion where they bring up a certain, article or like a certain news article that comes up and it seems very important, but it just gets brushed under the rug by other articles that are like far less important, and you're still wondering, like, you know, it's kind of like it went to like a cold case and you're still wondering, like, well, are they still pursuing this, you know, incident that happened that took place that date? It just seems like, you know, day after the next, it's just like there's a new article that just gets flooded and, you know, drowns out the next article, and you kind of forget about it.
The technology is getting crazier, you know, and it's getting to the point where it's just like, how much longer could they hide their technology, you know?
I don't even know anymore.
We're living in a crazy world, man, and, I mean, UFOs are now mainstream, Bitcoin, NFTs are all taking off.
Yep, those are all mainstream now.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like every time we do an episode, there's always like something crazy going on now.
In a progressing world, especially crazy to see it all too. Like see evolve from when we were growing up and going into school, from when there was the Zoom, first iPod, you know, the first, you know, having phones where you pay by minutes, and then, you know, getting the first iPhone 3G, you know, from CD players to, you know, the iPhone 3G, that was a major, major, major jump in history.
Yep. I mean, even it's just, it's all like ramping up. I don't know what's going to be leading to, but, you know, Israel, I don't know, we didn't talk about it, but, you know, this conflict between Palestine and Israel, and the U.S. is good friends with Israel, so it's going to really put a lot of eyes on the relationship there between the U.S. and Israel. Follow the podcast, you know, we try to post as often as we can, but we're everyday folk, you know.
We're just trying to make ends meet, and this is just something we love to do, trying to get out the podcast, as well as little news articles on the podcast website. Sorry for cutting you off, Brian. What were you going to say?
No, I was just saying the same thing. Check out the website. We have articles there, more articles hopefully to come. We're just keep following CollierCast. We're trying to give you the news as we see it.
We'll progressively, you know, get better as we continue to do this. But it's just something that, you know, we'll continue to do, pushing out podcast episodes, articles on the CollierCast.com website. Just, you know, like you said, news as we see it, you know, current news, stuff we want to get to you, to your ears.
Yeah. Well, all right.
All right.
From CollierCast, this is Justin and Brian.
Signing off.